Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Sins run deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you.
Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to Webster Groves Baptist Church this morning. Brother Terrell is in Ohio for an ordination service. We're very happy to have Reverend Keith Miner with us again. Looking forward to hear God speak through you this morning, Keith. The one announcement I'd like to make: next Sunday at 5 p.m. will be the church Thanksgiving dinner. As you leave the building today, there will be a sign-up sheet. Give an indication of the number of people that you might be bringing or might be coming with you, and then go ahead and sign up for the dinner. Take note of the brown registration pads in your pew. Put your name and contact information there, and if you have a prayer request or prayer concern that you'd like to share with Brother Terrell, we'll make sure that they get there. Let us prepare to worship.
Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, we truly do thank you for this another opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. We are indeed in your service. We understand that our being in your service means that we ought to be willing and able workers by the power of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your redeeming act. On Calvary's cross, we find that all was done and done well. We have been reconciled to the Father, and we ask that we continue to be the soldiers, the believers, the light of the world that you have told us and instructed us to carry out and be. In the matchless name of Jesus, we pray. Let every heart say amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Come, let us bow down to the Lord. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. This day the Lord is showering us with mercy, bringing us hope and peace. Lord, guide our feet as we run this race of faith for you. Amen.
I'm going to read the Psalm 78, verses 1 through 7, a special psalm by Asaph. My friends, I beg you to listen as I teach. I will give instruction and explain the mystery of what happened long ago. These are things we learned from our ancestors, and we will tell them to the next generations. We won't keep secret the glorious deeds and the mighty miracles of the Lord. God gave his law to Jacob's descendants, the people of Israel, and he told our ancestors to teach their children so that each new generation would know his law and tell it to the next. Then they would trust God and obey his teachings without forgetting anything God had done. This is the word of the Lord.
Now let's sing hymn 567, Share His Love. We'll sing verse 1 and verse 2.
Expands, 'tis deeper and wider than
Before we go to the prayers of the people this morning, do we have any praises out there that we would like to share? Surely something good happened this week. That's a praise. I agree. Let's be thankful for that. Anyone else? Yes. Good. Let's remember Bill as he continues to go through what he's going through, and let's keep him in our prayers. Does anyone have any prayers or concerns? Yes. Let's remember Victoria. Anyone else?
My cousin Adley, she has a brain tumor on her brain stem, and she starts her radiation treatment this week on Monday. She goes 5 days a week for 6 weeks.
Let's remember Adeline. Anyone else?
There's a lot of this winter time sickness going around.
Let's remember all those that are starting to battle with the colds and flu and all of that mess that comes with the winter months. Keep me in your prayers. Basketball season starts this week, so I'll be a little more stressed out and frazzled than I am the other parts of the year. But just pray for all the guys that are in my care, and that they'll don't pray for them that I'm going to do something to them, but just pray that as we travel and we're going to be traveling around to different places and riding on buses and going to games, and there'll be injuries and all kinds of that. Just remember our team and that they'll stay safe and that I'll stay mentally healthy for the course of the year. Yes. And especially pray for my wife, because unfortunately she bears the brunt of my frustration most of the time. When I try and be a good person and hold it in and not take it out on the guys, then I come home and take it out on her. So please remember her too. If we don't have any other prayer requests, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for all the blessings that you give us each and every day. Thank you for the beautiful leaves as they change and all the beautiful colors as the fall gives way to winter. And Lord, be with each and every one of us through the winter months and help us through all the sicknesses and illnesses that sometimes come with that. Lord, be with each and every one of us as we travel through our daily lives. Help us to somehow be a light to someone who is searching for you. Be with all the sick, Lord. Lay your healing hand upon them, and those that are in medical care or under the care of doctors, please be with the doctors as well and help them to heal those that are sick and give them the care that they need. Be with the brokenhearted, the grieving, the depressed, all the people that are having a tough time. This Christmas season comes up. A lot of people struggle through that. Be with all those people and let them know that you are there and that they have someone that is with them every step of the way. Be with each of us as we go our daily way. Be with our leaders. Help them to make the right decisions. Lord, thank you. This past weekend we've had Veterans Day. Thank you for all those who made the ultimate sacrifice to ensure our freedom and our safety. And thank you, Lord, that we live in a country that we can believe how we want to believe and worship how we want to worship, and gives us thank you for the opportunity that we have just to come here and worship you every day. And thank you for living in a country where we can disagree and voice our different opinions at times. And Lord, just help us to remember that at the end of the day, that to be kind to one another and just be mindful of each other's feelings, and help us to grow a little closer together towards you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Now let's sing out of the pew book 159, This Little Light of Mine. We'll sing all three verses.
Thank you. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. You are like light for the whole world. A city built on top of a hill cannot be hidden, and no one would light a lamp and put it under a clay pot. A lamp is placed on a lampstand, where it can give light to everyone in the house. Make your light shine so that others will see the good that you do and will praise your Father in heaven. This is the word of the Lord.
We missed the opportunity to give, so I want to make sure someone want to walk that back to him or something. Good morning to you, Webster. How's everyone doing? Oh, that's good. We want to give honor to God on this morning, and of course, the angel, aka the pastor of this fine church, being in the person of Mr. Terrell Carter, Pastor Terrell Carter, Dr. Terrell Carter, none of which he asked me to refer to him as. However, he's due the respect, for certainly he has put in the work. Amen? Amen? Amen. The scripture has been read, and we certainly honor God. We say that it's not up there at this point. This is the word of God, and we believe that it is true. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof fadeth away, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Amen. It's good to see you all again as we attempt to speak, proclaim this God's word on this morning. We will have as a framework from whence to think, saved to shine. Saved to shine. Now, when we look at these particular persons who were gathered at the foot of this mountain, the mountain gathering is not new to Israel and all the people of God, but the ability to approach God was certainly new. Some may suggest that there was no miracle done at this particular time, but I'm not going to argue with those persons, but when we look at the spiritual transformation that was going on in the people's lives, and when we look at how Jesus is regarded as this new, bright, and powerful preacher, prophet, we are certainly aware that God is doing supernatural things in their presence. They would approach God during the time of Moses, and fear and trembling certainly would take place because they could not take nor bear the voice of God. Do you recall the time when they would dare say they wanted to be in the presence of God? They wanted to hear from God himself. And when the opportunity presented itself, they said, no, Moses, you speak to us. You be our mediator, if you will. We could bear hearing from you, but not him. We will surely die if we were to continue to listen to this God that we serve. Now, Jesus is God wrapped up in human flesh. Jesus is God in their presence. He is certainly Emmanuel. So he affords them the opportunity to be in the presence of God himself. Then we know that we have some years of silence. Some would say 400 years of silence where there was no voice of God speaking to God's people. Jesus is on the scene at this particular time. He's born and he's baptized. As I quickly go through the chapters leading to this fifth chapter of Matthew, Jesus is born and he's baptized even by his cousin. But there is no favoritism involved, because John the baptizer has to work out his own soul salvation just as others would have to do. And John has the privilege of baptizing Jesus. What an awesome privilege. And John considered it such. And Jesus says to John, don't worry about that. Let us fulfill scripture and prophecy. Jesus allows John to baptize him.
not because Jesus had any sins to be cleansed and or any fears to be quenched. Jesus took on our sins and gave us his peace. When you talk about importation, when you talk about the transference of guilt onto a person, Jesus takes on everything that we are guilty of. Jesus is baptized at this point, and now as we look at this being Veterans Day and or as a time when we salute our veterans. Veterans, I would have you know that Jesus skips boot camp and he goes straight to war. And he doesn't face just any old soldier, captain, lieutenant, major, colonel, whomever. He faces, the father of darkness himself, Satan himself. Satan does not send a soldier. He comes himself because he recognizes that the competition level has to be met head to head. But what he underestimates is that Jesus will show mankind that he will defeat Satan, yes, physically and spiritually. Jesus shows us that we are to defeat Satan by way of using his word. The word of God, that is. And as Jesus defeats him, Satan moves on to another opportunity and awaits another opportunity to try Jesus once more. Then we look on at this particular book of Matthew, and we see that Matthew tells us that Jesus goes on to select some disciples, some students. Now, I would have to be in that number because Jesus, he picks ordinary people to do extraordinary things. He goes on to teach them that through miracles that they will witness even with their own eyes and hear the words being articulated from the heart and lips of Jesus, the love of God will obviously show up and bless their lives. They are fishermen. They leave their occupation. They are those who are the Israelites and any other individual that doesn't necessarily like the IRS, publicans and our tax collectors. They don't like them, I'm not going to say we don't like you all personally out there. If you are working for, we know that's a necessary evil in some people's estimation. Well, Matthew is a tax collector. What an unlikely partner. What an unlikely student. But Jesus specializes in transforming lives. And he transforms the life of Matthew, and Matthew leaves his occupation as well. And so we see that Jesus picks ordinary individuals, and now we see Jesus teaching principles that they had never heard expounded before. Jesus is the master teacher. Jesus is the prophet that none had heard before. Jesus gives that impression because at the end of this particular chapter of chapter 5, we see that as an end result, they say to themselves, wow, that's some kind of preacher. He preaches not like the scribes and other individuals we've heard before. He preaches with power. He preaches as if he's talking about himself. I kind of added that, but we get the picture. The picture is that Jesus offers in their hearing a new learning and a new burning that they had never heard and or felt before. This tax collector goes on to write to encourage us as, the disenfranchised, to encourage those of us who are heavy laden, to encourage those of us who feel like we are the left out. Jesus specializes in talking to such individuals, individuals who feel like life has passed them by. Jesus speaks with power and conviction in regards to social, political, and all other issues that they were confronted with. What was the answer? Well, obviously, I will promote none other answer but Jesus himself. Jesus points to the Father. And in doing so, I have to tell you and or remind you that we can't have the Son without the Father. And you can't have the Father nor the Son without Holy Spirit. Jesus is teaching at this point, some would say 8 principles, others argue 9. Take your pick in regards to the number, but please read the Beatitudes. Jesus speaks and preaches his longest sermon. Don't fret. Just because Jesus preached his longest sermon in this Sermon on the Mount, don't worry. I won't be much longer. Jesus tells them of the Beatitudes, and I hasten to get to the text that we have in front of us today. After the Beatitudes are articulated, after he expounds and tells us, informs us, even new believers, born again, baptized believers, that if you have such characteristics, if you have such a disposition of one who will be happy when you follow the Christ, when you are in a tight situation, you can feel loosened up because God has the answer for your tight situations. That is a simple saying for individuals who are low in their what? Receptive attitudes toward finding an answer in God. The theological responses are not always high and are heavy. Jesus speaks to everyone wherever they are. And so when we say that Jesus taught these principles, we look at this particular text that says, as a reminder for all of us, Matthew 5:14-16, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Well, you may be a skeptic and or you may be one of those unnecessary critical thinkers in this regard that, well, if the lights are not on, Brother Keith, then you can be hid. Well, even in the daytime, if something as large as a city being represented as lively stones are moving about because the dead don't move, the dead is not living, are we? If you're dead, you're not even speaking to that question. Those who are alive spoke. And so I agree with you. The city that is set on a hill are certainly believers that will shine. How do you know that? Because when God has placed something in you, it is not of death and or stillness. It is a living organism, as the church, the ecclesia is, the called out community. We are living or lively stones that you can look at with legs that would serve as a lampstand. As I hasten to a close, we are walking ladders. Going back to this city, we are collectively joined together because we are God's workmanship created to do and execute the will of God. First John, that is, says to us, then this is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. We remember what John records in his gospel concerning Jesus the Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And that refers to the world. The world represents darkness. God represents light. God is the chief lighthouse. God is the source of our everything. And of course, during this particular analogy, we're talking about or this metaphor of light. Jesus is the light of the world. And we have no ordinary man again telling us that we are light and prior to salt. We are to look like light and taste like salt. We are not only to look like light, but we are to be light. And he talks about salt as well. If we are of and are, if we are the equivalent of our weight in salt, because salt was used for a multiplicity of things. But if we were to look at it besides a seasoning to preserve and or give traction to the street department that will be using salt in a little time. We don't want to see that time, but it's a possibility of at least water freezing, right? For those of us who want a white Christmas, we may want to. However, as I look at the last few verses to make sure we do like Jesus does. He cuts straight. He is the one who is to mimic when it comes to preaching and teaching. He's teaching and reminding us to be what he has called us to be. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Jesus gave us the perfect gift, yes, himself, but he gave us himself in the sense of empowerment, in the sense of light. His presence is light. You can't say you know Jesus without the Holy Spirit, so I know light is within you. You wouldn't be present unless you believe that Jesus is light. Some would argue with that. And I agree. Because I'm on record also for saying a not so wise statement in that you can't fake light. Well, that wouldn't be true either. Because we know that Lucifer, whom is referred to as the morning star, he was a shining light, but he is a fake and a false light. So we have to be careful and are be wise in our being in the presence of and teaching individuals who say they represent the light of the world, but actually they do not. They are of the enemy himself. As we look at 2 Corinthians to support that, 11 and 14, no marvel for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing of his ministers also to be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Your works are a greater indication as to who you are. Your works are the equivalent to fruit. You can't say you're an apple tree and you're producing grapes. Your fruit will tell on you. I conclude that you can't say that you are a representative of light and your works, meaning your light, gives off false indications of gospel. If you're not one to point to Jesus as being the answer and are a suggested answer, then we understand that you are a false witness, because it should resonate with us that Jesus is the answer. He's not an answer. He's the answer. And so, as I close, the everlasting light, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty, the lamp, or the temple of it, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Jesus is the light that was speaking on earth during this particular time. And when we talk about eschatology, when we look at the end times, Jesus will be the light forevermore. Now, Jesus has no beginning nor an ending. So we can have confidence and reassurance that when it comes to injustices, let our light shine. Let your influence speak. And if you have to use words, do so. Actions are the best indicators when we look at being a light bearer and a light worker. Would you rather have someone tell you that they loved you or show you that they love you? You can't argue. You can't have both. You have to choose one. And I'm certain that you will ease toward show you. Brother Keith, but both are necessary. I would agree. Jesus demonstrated his love toward us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet in our darkness and or our sins, Jesus came and showed us his love. His light of love. His life of love. Because Jesus is our everything. So as I challenge you in the workhouse, in the schoolhouse, even in the White House, those who believe ought to allow the light to shine. Those who are believers of Jesus, and he is the Christ, we ought to allow our lights, our witness, to speak in our everyday doings in this thing called life. I conclude. Personally, I am going to let my little light shine. I am going to let my little light shine because it was a gift to me. And I desire to show God what I am willing to do as a living sacrifice to show him my love for him. Now, mind you, he understands very well that Keith is fickle, that my love is of no comparison to his. I don't love him because I have the power to do so. I only love him because he first loved me. But Webster, will you join in with me again? We sang a song, but now we have to walk the walk today and tomorrow, the tomorrows of our lives. Will you allow your little light to shine? And this just spoken from a humble position. Jesus shines big in all of us. Will we permit him to work through us is the question. Amen. Father God, we truly do thank you for your word. We trust that you have penetrated our hearts and our minds. Truly, it may have been the ABCs of reminding us of who we are and whose we are. But we thank you for your love. We thank you for the life that you live through us. We ask that you would continue to bless us in spite of ourselves. Brother Keith is first to admit that I can be a nitwit. But we thank you for a lit wick, a light that's shining so bright that even through my trials and tribulations, I understand, I recognize that I can continue to trust in and lean on you. Thank you, Lord. Now unto you that is able to keep us from falling, and to present us faultless before your presence with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Father, be dominion, majesty, and power, both now and forever. Let every heart that say amen that believe, amen.